Good afternoon. I'm Cynthia Schuster in for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up this hour, actor Alan Alda joins us to tell us what brings him to Wisconsin this week, as well as share his expertise on the art of acting. We'll take your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. You can also email us at talk@wpr.org. Alan Alda joins us a little later this hour, but first we're taking a look at a report by the Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development that says that nearly 14,000 private sector jobs were added in the state during the month of June. Meanwhile, the overall government sector added a few thousand more jobs, so it's no surprise that unemployment also went down slightly. To help us sift through the numbers and what they mean is John Schmidt. He's the business reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. John, thanks for being here today.
Glad to help, Cynthia.
Well, so an estimated 13,800 private sector jobs were created last month, according to this report. That seems like good news.
Oh, it's clearly good news for Wisconsin. Wisconsin has been statistically, just in terms of pure statistics, a laggard in job creation for over a year. And the latest numbers, however, are showing an acceleration in job creation. There's really no other way to see it except as something positive.
And can you tell us what kinds of jobs have been created?
Yeah, in this case, it runs the gamut. But if you don't mind, I do need to take a step back and talk about the way that the state reports its job numbers. These are infamously, notoriously inaccurate numbers when they come out every month. And we take pains to report this. The sampling size that the government does at the state level is, by its nature, because they have to do this every month, month in, month out, a very small sample size. Then they get extrapolated. So if there's any distortion in the numbers, it just gets magnified. That's why when you have a large number, it increases the odds that there was some increment of decent job creation. Otherwise, believe it or not, the margin of error on these numbers is plus or minus 9,000 in each direction. That's how wildly inaccurate these numbers can be. However, they also do dovetail with some other reports that had come out recently with accurate numbers that show some acceleration in job numbers. So in aggregate, you're looking at an uptick. It's not a roaring economy. It's not a party till like it's 1999 recovery yet. In fact, Wisconsin continues to trail, as it has for many quarters now, the national recovery. Even so, an acceleration is an acceleration. But to get to your question, these jobs are all over the gamut. There was a preponderance in what is called hotel and leisure work, people who tend bars or make hotel beds, for the tourist season. There was a large number of those, but there were the other kind of jobs as well that have a, slightly higher pay differential on them.
So I guess given that, is it any surprise then that we saw some job growth in the month of June? Since that's when vacations are on the rise and there's a greater demand for those kinds of jobs.
Yeah, definitely. When you have, just like what you just said, it's just the same thing that happens in winter when construction slows down. You've got these seasonal developments that happen year in and year out, depending on what happens. So that would be a natural occurrence. These numbers are supposedly seasonally adjusted, but when the statisticians go in and seasonally adjust the numbers to allegedly strip out these, fluctuations that happen every year, they just add more distortion and noise in them. So I usually take those things with a grain of salt.
Okay, so let's say come September, are we going to see a dip then, do you think?
Oh, yeah. I believe that it's natural. Let's face it, the Wisconsin economy, as I understand it, has three or four main drivers. One is agricultural. Think of all the soybeans, cranberry, and what have you that this state is known for. Another is manufacturing, but another is tourism. The Wisconsin Dells, go up north, Hayward. There are, the Illinoisans I know like to call Wisconsin their playground. So there is a lot of tourism, and that will always fluctuate up and down. It's just the economics of the tourism industry.
Okay, are there any other areas that are seeing a little bit of a boost?
Well, there was a little uptick in the other sectors that you want to see driving the economy, and those are, information technology, financial services. If you look at the composition of the East Coast or the West Coast economy as opposed to the manufacturing Midwest, they have really strong connections to information technology, to the financial services, although in 2008 being in the financial services industry was not any great picnic, because that's what led the subprime financial collapse. But, it's a bit of a rising tide lifts all boats. The bigger question is, on the macro level for the state of Wisconsin, are you going to accelerate the pace of economic reinvention in the state of Wisconsin? Right now, it is still tied with a lot of industries that are about a century old. These are manufacturing industries. This is making paper, printing on paper, metal foundries. They're all solid industries, but they're ones that had better reinvent really quickly. Mm-hmm. These were the ones that drove the economy for a century. And they're slow in transition. That much is clear from all the data. When you start seeing a rebirth of new industries in those older industries like the Phoenix, then you'll really have something to talk about in Wisconsin.
Right. Well, and a lot of that innovation is more in the, I would think, the electronics field and technology. And there's some of that in Wisconsin. But when I think about that, I think about California.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's such an interesting debate, and that is the perennial debate. And sometimes I sit around in groups of people who are trying to brainstorm on whither the innovation economy. And the cliche that happens too often in Wisconsin is that you'll get guys sit around and they'll say, where are we going to make our iPhone? What's going to be the touchscreen disruptive technology of Wisconsin? And I sometimes weary of these conversations, because there is a lot of innovation that clearly can come out of the manufacturing industries. Take Wisconsin, take Milwaukee. You know, Milwaukee is not known in its profile, in its statistical profile for innovation and entrepreneurship, but you are beginning to see a lot of really interesting activity come out around all things around water technology. It's interesting. The idea catches a lot of imaginations. A lot of people are watching the water tech sector. Is that going to take off? Is that going to create jobs? That jury is still out. But at the end of the day, it's really interesting. When you wake up in the morning and you're in the middle of a desert, is the first thing you need an iPhone or a glass of water?
Right. Well, and along those lines, I'm thinking more about that sector. There's claims by the governor, for example, that mining is going to create jobs in Wisconsin. And although that really hasn't gotten off the ground yet, I'm wondering if you have any predictions as to how accurate that statement will be.
No. And in a way, I'm reluctant to make a prediction on mining-related jobs. The Journal Sentinel takes, great pride in our trade in putting out the least politicized economics and the least politicized employment numbers, because God knows that there are plenty of people who do politicize these numbers to the point of distorting the debate. Mm-hmm. And treading into the mining issue gets too quickly political, if you don't mind my dodging your question.
That's fine. Well, let's talk about the government sector, though. There have been some jobs added to that, which, not as many as the private sector, according to the statistics. Can you talk more about that? How many government sector jobs have been created?
The government sector is fascinating. I'm going to talk to you in a three-year kind of time frame. When you go back to the last recession, government jobs held on better than the private sector, which was hanging on by its fingernails for a lot of that, job-wise, for a lot of the most harrowing parts of the 08, 09 downturn. Mm-hmm. With a delayed reaction, the government jobs started, especially in the state of Wisconsin, think of Act 10, started coming under, and public schools, for instance, started coming under extreme pressure. So the private sector trends and the public sector government trends have not moved in unison by any means. In fact, the government jags up and down. Remember when there was a decennial census recently and they had to hire people just literally for 6 weeks to go ring doorbells? And that created this huge spike in federal government jobs, even though these were all very temporary. So the government jobs, by their nature, jag up and jag down, and they're hard to pin down. I submit that if you're going to look for the driver, the engine that moves this economy, you really got to look at the private sector. That's why we always put a big focus on private sector job creation in our stories.
I'm Cynthia Schuster talking with John Schmidt. He's business reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We're talking about a new report estimating that about 14,000 private sector jobs were created in June. We're talking about what that means. If you have any questions, John is with us for the next few minutes, and our phone number is 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. John, if you don't mind, this might be kind of a big question, but I'm wondering if you could give us a brief synopsis of the mechanics of job creation. How does job creation actually happen?
That's the $60,000 question. It happens differently in Wisconsin than it does in San Jose, California. It happens differently in San Jose, California than it does in Bangalore, India, or in China. Every economy, you go to San Diego, you've got a lot of government contracts driving things there. You go to Wisconsin, you're sitting in Madison, I believe. They've got huge amounts of government research grants that drive the university-driven economy. And yet those jobs actually don't even register when you're looking for statewide economic drivers, according to some recent studies. I think that I'm going to reference a set of stories that we ran, not by me, but by my colleague, Rick Rimmel, about entrepreneurship in Milwaukee, but also by extension in Wisconsin. When you think of Milwaukee, this is an industrial economy. You've had amazing feats of industrial growth in this economy. The history, like take A.O. Smith, some guy over 100 years ago invented welding. Invented a process of welding that led to new ways of creating auto bodies that led to what is in Milwaukee, what was once upon a time a single industrial site that created 10,000 jobs. It's empty now. It's vanished. A.O. Smith makes water technology, but it innovated and evolved out of that. You need more of the you need to sort of discover what innovation Milwaukee style is. Innovation Wisconsin style, entrepreneurship. I submit it's going to have an industrial component in it. It won't be all tech. It'll be some hybrid of tech and of new tech and old tech.
Mm-hmm. That sounds very complex. That's exactly how it is. That's just reality. So I'm curious then if it's practical for politicians to make promises about being able to create jobs. I mean, how much control do they really have over something like that?
That's a really interesting question. You could argue, I'm talking about theoretical politicians. I don't want to talk about the current governor or his predecessor or the two parties in this state, which are constantly at loggerheads. And that debate just churns in its own echo chamber. A really good politician will set expectations, obviously, will be able to communicate some vision, will be able to either lift the mood of the electorate or depress it, fire up some imaginations with some ideas or not. I guess you could talk about some examples where intelligent government intervention. And there's whole history books written on how the internet grew out of DARPA, which was a government project. I mean, not all government intervention in the economy is negative. But unfortunately, or fortunately, the debate in the United States often centers around that. You can't really separate what politicians do too much from what role government plays constructively or not. Sometimes it's throwing spaghetti on the wall. Who can read into the future? That's one of the interesting things about my job covering economics. The pace of economic change has gotten so rapid that I submit that no one in their right mind can predict with confidence what will be the economic drivers 3 and 5 and 7 years from now. You can't do it. So you just make the best choices that you can. There are a number of interesting projects going on in Wisconsin right now. And, you know, you should debate each of those on their singular merits.
So this inability to predict anything, is that going to be the new normal, or is this just a period of adjustment where economists and people like you just need to figure out what the new measure is, what the new norm is?
Well, you know, I'm going to quote Thomas Friedman, the economics columnist, the globalization columnist for the New York Times. He was recently lamenting that he wrote his famous book, The World is Flat, in something like 04 or 05. Mm-hmm. And then he just wrote a column saying, well, I thought I nailed it. I thought I kind of created the grand unified theory of everything. But then since then, what came out was, you know, Wi-Fi, social media and Twitter, and he listed 10 major new world-changing technologies that have all shaken things up quite disruptively just in the past 5-7 years. And he's right. You know, how are you going to say where, you know, these take social media just as an example? They are morphing all the time. Groupon 3 years ago, it was considered, out of Chicago, a Midwestern, a somewhat kindred economy to Milwaukee's. 3 years ago, people thought it was the greatest thing since sliced bread, and now I think investors have soured on it. Up and down, these cycles go really fast.
Well, we were talking about the job numbers from last month, and you mentioned how some of the reporting is inaccurate, and you explained why. But I'm curious, you had said that there are other reports that are more accurate. What are those reports, and why don't we look at them?
Cynthia, I am so glad for that question, because I would have wanted to come to that anyways. Let me give you a super quick 1 minute elevator version on why that matters. When these monthly numbers come out, and I can tell you because I often write them, and so I know this firsthand, they are thrown immediately into the political spin cycles. Unfortunately, they're very inaccurate. So the Journal Sentinel took the lead in the state of Wisconsin well over a year ago, well before the last recall election, in finding out, well, what numbers are accurate? Which ones can we point to? And fortunately, they exist. It's called the quarterly census. It's released every quarter, as the name implies, from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. What's interesting is that the monthly survey estimates come from a little polling sample that looks at a fraction of the population. It works maybe for political polls, but not for job creation. The quarterly census relies on a census of 96 to 97% of all public and private employers in each of the 50 states. So you're looking at 96% of the payrolls across the state of Wisconsin and the United States. That means that you have a really solid look at what's going on. And these are the numbers we look at. They break it out. They break out job growth or not by industry. They break out wage growth or not by industry. They're very good numbers. They're very clean numbers. And if you look at the Journal Sentinel from Friday, June 28th, or look online and scroll for quarterly census, you'll find our last report, which does a nice analysis piece, I think, with some graphics showing what's going on in Wisconsin. So, for instance, the pace of job growth in Wisconsin, I'll read you the progression. Jobs grew in the private sector by 1% 1 year ago, one quarter later 1.14%, then 1.28%, then 1.4%. So you see a little acceleration. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, if you're going to tell the full story, that lags the national recovery in each of those increments. For instance, the most recent 1.4% growth in private sector job creation compares to 2.27% nationally. It would be great when Wisconsin catches up to the national rate of job creation. It hasn't done so yet in quite a few quarters. I'd have to look back.
It sounds like if I were you, I would be frustrated because you get it. You know, you get how this works. But I think a lot of people are listening to the news and just hoping for good news or trying to latch on to any facts and figures that they can get, even if it's not very accurate. I guess if there's one takeaway you'd offer to our listeners, what would it be in terms of knowing whether or not to really put your trust and optimism in any particular statistics?
Oh, Samuel Longhorn Clemens, better known as Mark Twain, was so distrustful of all statistics that what was his great quote? There are lies, there are damn lies, and then worst of all, there are statistics. And that is so true. You can take these quarterly census numbers that are so clean, and if you want to be unscrupulous, you can be, and many people are. I would say, you know, you're going to have to look to the Journal Sentinel. We have taken our newsroom as a priority to make sure that that we report the cleanest numbers we can. It's true. If you are just reading headlines or reading quickly or don't read past the first sentence, you don't get into the background and context we often put into these stories to say that, dear reader, this particular number is flawed for these reasons. It's pretty much in most of the stories we write when there are such issues of statistical question marks embedded in the story. We do try to bring that to readers' attention. We do the best we can.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today and helping us understand.
Thanks for having me.
That was John Schmidt. He's business reporter with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joined us from the Milwaukee Bureau of Wisconsin Public Radio talking about new state numbers out of a report from the Department of Wisconsin Workforce Development. Coming up after the break, we'll talk with accomplished actor, writer, director, and much more, Alan Alda. He'll tell us what brings him to Wisconsin this summer and takes your calls at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. I'm Cynthia Schuster, in for Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.